Well, I wonder, did you make any New Year resolutions? Made any New Year resolutions? Broken any New Year resolutions? You may know the old quip, may your troubles in the New Year be as short-lived as your New Year resolutions. Well, just for a little time this morning, 2013 has now gone. It's now history, and we have arrived in 2014. And of course, we do not know what it will hold for any of us. We do not know what it will hold for us as individuals, as communities, as a nation, as a world. But what I want to do this morning is just to elaborate on something I was saying recently, just at the end of the year. And I want to really share with you three things that I feel we all need to think about. This particular time of the year provides for us all a time for rest. And I want to pick up on that word. And I want to just share three short things, three important things as we step into a new year. And the first thing is this. There are really three things that I want to say today. You can see them there. To rest in Christ, and to rest your soul in God. But first of all, rest may initially seem a peculiar thing for a pastor to be taking a moment or two to speak about, but hopefully you'll agree that it's an important issue. I'm not suggesting, of course, in 2014 that we rest all the time, nor am I suggesting that you stop working. You might be tempted, you might think that's a wonderful thing to do, nor am I suggesting that you stop serving. Of course not. But in an age, and we do live in this kind of age, we live in an age, we live in a society where the pace of life is frenetic and intense, where quite a few people, not only in this community, but in every community, I suspect, are in danger of verging on being, they wouldn't admit this, of course, but they're verging on being workaholics. And that, of course, is driven in a community like ours. And when I say a community like ours, I mean Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland has a great work ethic, and it's a very wonderful thing. But pushed too far, it can actually become a slight problem. And so we need to think about how we are living. We need to think about our use of time. We need to think about the balance of how we use our time. We need to think about things like rhythms of work and rest. A great Christian theme, actually, but sometimes not spoken about very often. You see, it is not an unspiritual thing for us to think about such a subject. We shouldn't feel guilty about thinking about such a subject. After all, our Creator built into the creation a Sabbath rest. And our Lord himself, in that wonderful little section, you can read it yourself on some other occasion, Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, where our Lord said to his disciples, those who were following him in the midst of a really busy ministry, he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Mark 6 and verse 31. Could it be? I would be very, very surprised if that was not a word for someone here this morning. The Lord says to you, come with me by yourself and get some rest. Let me ask you this morning, are you resting enough? Is your life too frenetic? Are you pushing yourself to an early demise because you won't slow down? Do you need to be more intentional in carving out some space and some time to maybe set aside some fresh priorities for yourself at the beginning of this new year? and to establish what some Christians have described as strategies of self-care. You see, it is not, and I repeat myself, it is not an unspiritual thing to think about such things. Let me approach this from another angle. It seems to me, how many folks are there in the church? And I don't just mean this church, but in the church, how many folks are there who are really tired and in danger of burning out? Why is it that in most churches, a small number of people do most of the work? And quite a few who profess to be Christians, without being unkind, don't really get involved. Why is that? I'm not sure. There are always areas in the church where we need help. One of the areas where we need some help at the moment is in the children's church. We literally need more people. We don't have enough people to function the children's church effectively. Now remember this. The church is not just a service that we attend. It is a service that we give. And if we ever forget that, if we think of the church, I'm not suggesting that you do think of it like this, but if we just think of the church as something that gives to us, and we don't give to it, well then we really have missed a big part of what Christianity calls us to. We're not expecting people to give and give until they burn out. Not at all. Not at all. But nor do we want people to sit back and rust out because they're doing nothing. That's not what we want either. There is a third alternative: to wholeheartedly serve, but also to build into those times of service, times of rest and self-care. And it seems to me that that is the sensible and the biblical and the Christian approach. I could say more, but I move on. The second thing that I want you to think about, and of course this brings us to the heart of the gospel, and this is really crucially important, is that we need to rest in Christ. We maybe haven't sung this hymn for a wee while, but we certainly have sung it. In fact, it was interesting when David was sharing with us a few years ago when I was in Africa, I actually remember being in a church and they were singing this hymn. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And this brings us to the very heart of the gospel, that we need to be able to truly sing those words and to have the assurance within our hearts that we are resting in Jesus Christ for life and for eternity. And the gospel, the simple gospel call is this, that when we simply, sincerely, and yet truly throw ourselves on Jesus Christ for our eternal welfare, he saves us and he keeps us. And we are accepted in him. This is a theme that I deliberately have been mentioning a number of times recently. That the gospel reminds us that when we truly entrust ourselves to Christ, when we throw ourselves on him for our salvation, then we are accepted in him by grace through faith. There is nothing more that we need to do to be any more accepted by him. And actually, we can add to that, there is no mess that we can make which makes us less accepted. We are accepted in him, even through the ups and the downs and the messes that sometimes we make, if we truly have thrown ourselves on him. And that's the sort of statement that somebody somewhere says, are you sure? Well, but that is actually what we believe. That is the Reformed principle of what it means to be accepted in Christ. It's the essential difference between religion and gospel, as I keep repeating myself. but I do not apologize for repeating myself. I subscribe to the old-fashioned, well, I shouldn't say old-fashioned, the old policy or principle of teaching that you basically say things enough times and eventually the penny drops. Religion is the principle, well, if I obey, if I do all these things, then hopefully I'm accepted. Whereas the gospel says, I'm accepted in Christ. I'm accepted by grace through faith in Christ. Therefore, I go out and I obey. And if you are a religious person, you will discover that your inspiration and your motivation will often wane because you're building on the wrong foundation. But once you see the gospel principle that you're accepted in Jesus, it is a liberating thing. And it is an inspirational thing. And it actually, as I've said before, it puts a bit of fire in your belly and it puts a spring in your step to go out and to serve because you want other people to discover this as well. So to rest in Christ, to know that you're accepted in Him, safe and secure in Him. You don't have to try any harder to be accepted in Him. You don't have to keep striving. You're accepted. And you know, the lovely thing is that as you see that every morning of 2014 that you step out of your bed, somebody once said, every morning you can get out of your bed is a good morning. And that is so true. But every morning that you get out of your bed in 2014, you can honestly say to yourself, you know, I'm accepted in Jesus. And that's an inspiring thing. Rest in Christ. The last thing I say is this, rest your soul in God. That phrase is based actually on the words of the psalmist in Psalm 62, verse 5, where the psalmist says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. And there was David as a believer saying, I need to find rest for my soul in the Lord in the midst of the struggles of life. And if you and I are going to progress in 2014, then you and I need time to deliberately still and rest our souls in God. The missionary Jim Elliot, who lost his life as a missionary, as a young man, he said this, I think the devil has made it his business to monopolize on noise, hurry, and crowds. Satan, said Eliot, is quite aware of the power of silence. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you took a minute, 2 minutes, never mind 5 minutes, to be silent in the presence of God? I think we might be shocked if we actually could work out how much most of us go through life without any silence at all. Never mind silence in the presence of God. Where and when do you have silence in your home? He says, "You." That's a very good question. Maybe it's those early morning moments before everybody else gets up that you can have some silence. Maybe it's along with the early morning cup of tea or coffee before the house gets going. Maybe it's at the end of the day. Some Christians will find silence and solitude in their house. Others, actually, it may seem a funny thing for me to say this, other people literally have to get out of their house to find silence. Would it surprise you if I told you about some of the great Christians of past generations? A man called Howell Horace, who was a very famous Christian in Wales a couple of hundred years ago, he used to actually have to go out of his house and go down the road into a church and sit there and find silence. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher from a bygone age, used to literally go out of his house. You know where he went? He went into the middle of a field and he sat down and communed with God. Susanna Wesley, this is a famous example. Do you know what Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles, used to do? Well, she used to sit in her kitchen, and when she wanted moments of quietness and silence, she lifted her apron up over the top of her head, and she sat, and all the children knew that Mummy wanted silence. They all disappeared for a minute or two. You might say, that's not possible. If only you knew my situation. Well, I simply say this, where there is a will, there is a way. Scripture calls us to find time to rest our souls in God. The example of godly men and women down through the ages calls us to this. And the busyness of our lives calls us to find moments of rest and stillness before God. And so this morning, I simply want to leave these three thoughts with you at the beginning of this new year. Will you intentionally look at your use of time this year? And for those of you who are far too busy, get some rest. But don't rest forever. When you've recovered, get back on board and get involved, because we need everybody to be involved. And at the heart of what I want to say this morning is obviously the middle point. It's the gospel message. That's what I'm here to preach more than anything else, that we need to be resting in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means. It means to be truly and sincerely and earnestly resting for life and eternity in Him. What better time at the beginning of a new year than to know that you're resting in Christ for your eternal welfare? Are you? There's probably somebody here this morning and you're not yet resting in Christ. What better time at the beginning of a new year to get yourself right with God? And as you go out into the Christian experience, build in times to rest your soul in God. Don't be so busy that you forget those moments to be still and to know that God is God. And all of these things will become an inspiration and a motivation and a great help as you seek to live for Christ in 2014. Amen. Let me lead you in a short prayer, and then we're going to